Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, God is the only one with power. This is 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 11. Imagine for a moment that you live in a country with a king, someone that has full total control over everything that happens. He can say yay or nay to anything, okay? And then suppose that you've been trying to solve some sort of problem and you need someone else's help. And you've been searching all of this time for someone to help you. You make phone calls, you get someone on the phone, you think, oh, okay, this person's going to be able to help me. And he's like, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And you keep doing this over and over, and no one is able to help you. And then one day you're talking to a friend and you say, and this friend says, I think I have someone that can help you. This person has a connection to the king. And you begin to get excited and you find out that this person is actually like the daughter of the king, okay? And she has somehow gotten you a sit down with the king. And so you get to go in and you get to talk with the king and tell him your problem. And when you get there, he's very kind. He realizes that you are very, very upset and you've been working for a long time to try to figure this out. And he listens to every single thing that you say. And he doesn't give you an answer. He doesn't tell you that he's going to fix the problem or not, but you realize that he's listened to you fully and that he completely understands and that he cares about you. And you leave at least knowing that. How do you feel? Do you feel like you did every other time when you hang up the phone and you're like, I've got to call someone else? No, because there's no one else to call, right? Do you feel like you've got to figure something out? Do you feel as though you are maybe, you know, still as upset as you were before? Or do you feel like, okay, I've done everything I can. I'm going to leave this in his hands. Of course, you feel like there's no point in worrying about anything anymore because you've told the only person that has any power to do anything about it, right? And that's what we realize in this story with Hannah today, last week, and today, is that Hannah has access to the only one that actually has power. And today I want us to focus on the fact that we too have access to the only one who has any power, and that is God. And if we have access to the King of heaven and earth, the one that has all power to say yay or nay to everything, then why don't we talk to him? And when we do talk to him, why don't we leave it in his hands and stop worrying about things, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. First, I want us to remember a little bit about last week, how Hannah has not been able to have a child and she's super, super sad. And then she finally goes to God and tells God, if you'll give me a child, I will give him back to you. And so God does. God gives her this child. And where we left off last week is that Hannah is back at the tabernacle, handing over her son Samuel to the high priest Eli. And so that's how the chapter 1 left off. And at the first of chapter 2, we see that Hannah is singing a song to the Lord. And you know, the first time that Eli met Hannah, she was crying out of desperation and sadness and hopelessness and her need, right? But this time, she is singing a song out of thankfulness and out of being filled. And so this song is both a personal accounting of how God dealt with her and Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, and also just a broader sense of who God is to all of us. And it shows how Hannah realizes who God really is and why she went to him in the first place when she couldn't do anything about it. Her problem. And so this is Hannah's song. It says, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Now, a horn was usually talked about in the form of power or strength. because an animal's horn is where he gets all of his power and his strength. And so what she's saying here at the very beginning is, you are the one who gave my body strength to have this child. And I acknowledge that. And then she says, my mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. And remember that Peninnah has been deriding her all of this time because she wasn't able to have a child. And so she's saying, you gave me the strength to have this child. You saved me from the fate that I had. And now I can deride my enemy, who is Peninnah. And then in verse 2, it says, there is none holy like you, Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. And so there is no one who has the power to do these things but you. My husband tried to help me. I tried to help myself. All of the old wives' tales and all of the things that I have been relying on were not capable of helping me. Only you. Only you had the power to create life within inside me. And I am giving you all of the glory. And then in verse 3, it says, talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And so again, she's talking about, you know, Peninnah should not be talking so very proudly about how she's able to give children to Elkanah and Hannah is not, because God has knowledge of their situation and God has finally evened the scales. Remember how Elkanah has been trying to even the scales all of this time, but nothing that he had carried enough weight to equal them out. But God does. God was able to do this. And so she's saying, you know, Peninnah, you have no reason to be talking so arrogantly anymore because God's even the scales. Now, it's the same in a broader sense, just about God in general, that he has the ability to even the scales. And so we shouldn't get too arrogant, right? And then in verse 4, it says, the bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. And so God can break the strength that we think we have, and he can lift up those who are weak. And then in verse 5, those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. And so what this is saying is, sometimes people that are rich, that don't have to work for anything anymore, forget what it's like to be poor, and they forget what it's like to have to work for things. And so if God thinks that you are, you know, getting too arrogant or that you're being too spoilt, then he can, you know, humble you a bit and make you have to work for the things that you have again, and help you understand what that's like and have a little bit of compassion for other people. And if you are poor and you don't have even enough for food, God can meet that need. And then at the end of verse 5, it says, the barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. And this isn't talking specifically about the number 7, that Hannah has had 7 children. She hasn't had any more children yet. And so what the number 7 is talking about is the number of completion. 7 symbolizes completion. And so he's saying the woman that was barren, whose family was not yet complete because it was only she and her husband, now her family is complete because you've allowed her to have children and now she has a complete family. And then the woman who thought she had everything, you have the ability to make her family incomplete. You can take away her husband, where she is now a widow and her family is no longer complete. Maybe her son, her children don't care for her or, you know, stay with her all of their lives. And so her family feels incomplete. And then, you know, in Peninnah and Hannah's situation, Hannah had Elkanah's love, but Peninnah had his children. And so in their situation, she can say, you know, you thought you had everything because you were able to give him children. And all I had was his love. But now I have his love and his children, and you feel incomplete, as I have been feeling incomplete all of this time. And so she's just showing how God has been in their situation and how he can be in all of in everybody's situation, how God is the one that has the control and he can do with it what he chooses. And then in verse 6, it says, the Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. And so we talked about last week how God has the power of life and death in his hands. And so what she's saying here is God has the power to decide when someone lives and when someone dies. And then after someone dies, he has the power to raise them up again into eternity or not. And so all of these things may sound a little bit like God has our lives so in his hands that he's just treating us like pawns on a chessboard. And that's not the case. God is just like a father on earth where he can do for his children what he thinks they need. If they are in need, he can raise them up. And if they are getting a little bit too arrogant and thinking that they can do things on their own, then he can humble them a bit, showing them, you know, maybe taking something away from them so that they can see that nothing they have is from themselves, that God is the one that gives everything and they will rely on him a little bit more and be a little more compassionate to others. And so this isn't God being mean and just saying, oh, I'm going to give to this person, I'm going to take away from this person, and none of these things have any feeling towards them. God loves us all, and he does to each of us according to our needs. And we may think that our need is to have something, but he may think that our need is to take something away from us, because he may know that we need to be humbled, that we need to have compassion, that we need to have understanding, that we need to be thankful, that we need to see where all of our blessings come from, right? That we need to rely on him. And so we don't always know what we need, but a parent on earth, we realize, knows what we need, and God also does the same. And so this is just saying that God gives and takes away according to what he knows that we need. And then in verse 8, it says, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make him sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. And so not only can he make rich and poor according to our need, but he can also raise those of us up that may be in a lowly position, who feel, you know, that we're lacking, who feel incomplete, who feel unimportant. He can raise us up to important positions. And those who are in important positions that think that they've gotten it on their own, God can bring low. And then in verse 9, it says, he will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. And so, again, this is just showing that if we are relying on God and we are saying, you know, I can't do anything on my own and I'm trusting you to do it, then he's going to guard your steps. He's going to show you the way. He's going to give you direction. But if you think that you can do everything on your own and you don't need God's help at all, then maybe he is not going to help you. And then you'll see where your own human, abilities get. Okay. And then in verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. Now, the first person, the other two people that he was talking about is the faithful ones that he's going to guard. And then the others aren't his enemies. They're just people that aren't looking to him. And so those that don't look to him, he's going to let them see that they can't do anything without his help. But those who are against him, he's actually going to break. He is going to let you see that he does have all of the power. And then the last of that verse says, the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, at this time, God has not yet allowed Israel to have a king. They have only had leaders. Moses and Joshua have been leaders, and then all of the judges were their leaders. But Moses talked of a time when they would have a king and even gave laws for that king and how that was all supposed to work. And so Hannah knows that Israel will eventually have a king. And so she's saying, you will give strength to that king and you will exalt the strength of the ones that you anoint. And so far, the ones that he has anointed are the judges and the priests and the prophets. And so God will give power to those people that he has chosen to give power to. And then also the last part of this, referring to the king and the anointed one, is also talking about Jesus, although Hannah probably is unaware of that at the moment. Now, I want to read you Psalm 113 because it also praises God for being holy and the only one. And then at the end of it, it also recites a lot of this passage that we just talked about. And so Psalm 113 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So all day long, praise God. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord." And then the very last verse that we're going to talk about today in 1 Samuel 2 is verse 11. And it says, "Then Elkanah and Hannah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest." And so Hannah and Elkanah went back home, but left Samuel in Eli's care. That's why they were bringing him there to Eli, not just dedicating him to God, but leaving him there for Elkanah to raise. And, you know, we talked before about how Samson also was dedicated to the Lord, but he was raised by his parents. And so this is the first person that has been dedicated to God from birth by his mother. And then this person is the first one that has been sent to live at the tabernacle with the high priest. And, you know, when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, God continuously kept asking Pharaoh to let his people go. And he said, if you don't, there will be consequences. And the last consequence was that God would kill all of the Egyptians firstborn, animals and children. And we talked about that in a long ago podcast. And so you'll have to go back and listen to that if you want to know more about why God would do something like that and all of that. But when he did that, he did not kill the Israelites' firstborn sons, but the only reason he didn't is because he told them to kill a lamb instead and put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over their house, seeing that a death had already occurred for that household and they wouldn't have anybody killed in their home. And after this, God said, because I spared your firstborn son, when I killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, I want all of your firstborn sons to be dedicated to me. All of your firstborn, actually, animals and children. And what that meant for the animals is that they would sacrifice them. But for the children, they obviously didn't kill their own children. And so God said, you can redeem your children. Instead of having to give your firstborn children to me to live at the tabernacle and work for me forever, I'm going to take the tribe of Levi as the tribe that always works for me. And so you can keep your own firstborn sons, and the tribe of Levi will work for me. But even they were raised by their own parents and then given in service from the age of 25 to 50. And so they just worked for, that was just their job. They just worked for God. And so in today's way, that would mean like, instead of each one of us giving our child to the church and saying, hey, you raise this kid and let them do whatever your job is for the church, he would take all of the people that already work for the church, all the missionaries, all the preachers, all the teachers, all of the song leaders and all of that. And he would say, you all work for the church, and then you raise your kids up in this, and then when they become of age, then they will also work for that. And so that's what the Israelites, the Levites did. They would raise their children up, knowing that that would be their job. And then when they got older, they would do that as a job. But Hannah is taking this a whole step further and saying, no, I'm going to actually give my child to the ministry from birth, and he is going to live with the high priest and learn how to do his ministry from him from the time that he is born. And I will just come and visit him and, you know, see him whenever I come to the church, but he's going to be raised by Eli. And so that ends the part that we're going to read today. And I just want to talk a little bit about this song and then what we talked about last week. And so this song shows that Hannah knows that God is the only one that had power to help her. And she's known this all along. That's why she went to God in the first place, right? Because she realized all of the things that she said in this song. She didn't have the power to fix her body, and neither did her husband. And not only that, but they couldn't fix the problem within her heart either. And God was the only one that could do this. He was the only one that could even the scales. And so in a fit of desperation, she takes her problem to the one that she knows can fix it, the ultimate person, right? But God never told her, okay, I'm going to give you a son. And yet she walked away with complete peace. And so why is that? Why is it that God never told her he was going to do this, and she had no proof that it would actually happen, and yet she was able to walk away in complete peace? The sick feeling that was in her stomach before that kept her from being able to eat is completely gone, and she's able to eat and enjoy this feast. Why? Why is that? How can she do that without any proof of this happening? Does she just believe that because she told God that she was going to dedicate this son to him, if he gave it to her, that he was going to do this? Does she believe that because she told the high priest about it, and he says that he wishes that God would grant her this wish, does she just believe that it's going to happen? If that's the case, that still takes a great amount of faith, because it hasn't happened yet, right? And so for her to believe that just because she prayed it, or just because the high priest wanted it, that she's going to get it, that shows her great faith in the Lord, that she would be able to have peace after that, knowing that God was going to do it even before he's done it. But I tend to think that that's not the only reason that she had peace. I think that it's because of what I talked about in the beginning of this lesson, that she knows that she's gone to the person that has all the power. And so there's no reason for her to figure out how to fix this anymore, because she's given it to the only person that can. And there's no reason for her to worry or be upset about it anymore, because there's nothing she can do anymore. She's left it in the hands of the only person that can do anything about it. And so for us too, sometimes we have to reach a completely desperate situation before we go to God. That's just how it is sometimes. Sometimes we try to fix this on our own and we realize we can't do it. And that's when we go to God. But once we do, we should feel just like Hannah. We should feel like, I've given it to the King of the universe, the only one who has any power to do anything about this. And we should be able to walk away feeling peaceful, knowing that, you know, yeah, we felt helpless before, but now we have hope because we've told the person that can do something about this, right? That's why the person that goes and tells the king her problem has a little bit of hope, because she's like, oh, he is the one that can do something about this. And now I don't have to feel hopeless anymore. We've left it in the hands of the person that has all of the power. And now we don't have to worry about it anymore. And you know, we don't know why God withholds certain things from us and gives us certain things. We talked about that last week in our blog post. We don't understand that. But as long as we have the access to the one who has all the power, then we can have all of the hope. because he never restricts our access, right? The king might only give us one sit down, but God, the King of heaven and earth, will give us ultimate access to him. And so that means that we can pour our heart out to him over and over and over again. And he never gets tired of us asking him for things. He, as a matter of fact, wants us to come to him with everything, not only with our requests, but with our feelings, with our sadness, with our worries and our concerns and all of those things. And so in 1 Corinthians 5:16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we have unlimited access to the King, and there's no reason for us to be worried or sad or hopeless ever again. And you know, he may eventually give us what we're asking for, or he might give us something even better. He might change our desires to fit his desires, or he might show us a different way. But even when we don't get the things that we want, we know we can trust God. Because unlike the people on this earth who may have power, but they don't have the knowledge to do what we need, or they don't care about us, right? They don't care about us as much as God. Or unlike the people who do love us and care about us and maybe even know what they want to happen, but they have no power to do it, God has all three. God knows exactly what is right for every single person on this earth, and he has all of our best interest at heart, and he has the power to work everything together for our good and his glory. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." And so we can trust him. Philippians 4:7-8 says, "So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And so that's why we can have peace, because we have made our request known to God, and now there's nothing else we can do. And so God can give us peace whenever it makes absolutely no sense for us to have any peace, when he hasn't even given us the thing yet, because we know that it's in his hands. It's in the most capable hands possible. And so we don't have to worry about the fact that we can't fix all of our problems. We don't have to look to others. We don't have to make umpteen phone calls, and we don't have to figure everything out. If we had the power or they had the power, we wouldn't be able to fix it as well as God anyway. And so we need to take our problems to the only one who can fix them. And while we're at it, we can leave him our fears and our worries and our needs and our wants. Every single thing we can place at the feet of Jesus. We can go to him and we can say, "This is yours. I don't know how to fix this. I'm not even going to presume to tell you what to do with this problem. I just know this is a problem and I need you, God. And so here is the issue. Do with it as you will." And then we can walk away, not worrying about it anymore, because we've left it in the most capable hands. We can go to God with our fears and with our worries, and we can say, "I'm scared about this, and I don't know how to fix that. Please help me." We can take him all of our need, and we can say, "God, I need this. Will you supply it for me?" And then we can walk away knowing that it's in his hands and he's going to give according to our need. We can take our sadness to God and we can leave it at his feet. We can say, "God, I need your comfort. I need you to come to me today and place your comforting hand on me. I need you to hold me and let me know that it's all going to be okay, even though I have no idea how. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do that. I'm going to trust that you can meet whatever need it is that I have, material or immaterial, permanent or temporary. I know you've got this. And then we can just place it at his feet and walk away. No more worries, no more fears, no more concerns, no more figuring it out. We don't have to, you know, I used to all the time have this whole thing that I would tell God whenever I had a problem. I would be like, God, I have this problem. And so would you do this for me? Would you fix this problem in this exact way at this exact time? And God's like, no, I have a better way and a better time. I've got this. All I need you to do is give me your problem. And I'm not perfect at it. I'll tell you that right now, but I've gotten better at just being able to say, God, this is my concern. This is my worry. This is my fear. This is my need, and leaving it at his feet. And God wants us to do that. And we can do that so easily because we can trust him with everything that we have. Let your Lord and your Savior take care of all of your problems for you. Though we are powerless in him, we have all the power. There's no reason to continue to feel helpless or hopeless. As the creator, he has power over the created. Trust him with that. If he was willing to die for you, is he not worthy to take care of you? Hasn't he proven his love and his power yet? Give it to him. He loves you and he can take care of you. Let him do it. Leave it at his feet. I'm going to end with these three verses. Matthew 6, 25 to 24 says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. There's no reason to worry about tomorrow. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Worry about today and take those worries to God and let him take care of it. If he can do all of these things that he says that he can do in this passage, and you can't do any of the things that he lists in this passage, then why are you trying? Why are you not leaving it up to him? Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So God says, give me all your burdens. I can carry them. I'm strong enough. You are not. This is tiring you out. It's making you exhausted. And you are worn out from this. And you know what? You can't deal with it anymore. It's too heavy for you. So I'm going to give you my light burdens because I don't have any worries or concerns. And I'm going to let you carry that. And you give me your heavy burdens, and I'll take them. They're not too heavy for me. I've got this. And then the last verse, 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your worries on him because he cares for you. If he cares for you and he has the power to do something about it, give it to him. Give it to him. Stop trying to figure everything out. Don't even figure it out to give it to him. Just give it to him. Present him with everything and leave it there. You can trust him to care about you, to know exactly what needs to be done, and to be able to do it. And so take it to him. That's all we have to do. Then we can have peace and joy, just like Hannah. He's the only one that can do it. You're spinning your wheels if you're trying to do it yourself. And so that's all I have for you today. Next week, we're going to talk about Eli and his sons. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. If you would like to have the written study, then go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and you can subscribe and get that study for $6 a month or $60 a year. You can take that study and you can look at all of the scripture references that I have there. They're just links, so easy when it's digital. And so you just click on that link and you can read it directly from your device. If you want to do this study with your Bible study group, then you can take this, get one subscription, print all of the materials out that you need, and you can do 1 Samuel with us. You can also do the previous 10 commandments, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So all of those are there. You have access to them the second that you get your subscription. If you don't want to pay for anything, no worries. This is always a free lesson here on YouTube or podcast. And then you can also subscribe to Substack for free and get the blog post that I also read on the Live Through Jesus Weekly Devotions podcast. And so you can get all of those for free, either the blog that you like to read or subscribe to the YouTube or podcast channel, and you can listen to those. So you have all of those options. There's only one paid option and multiple free options. And then also go to all of my social media and follow me there at Live Through Jesus. And I'll be posting scripture and clips from this episode. So you can read those and share those and all of those things. And that's all I have for today. So I'll see you back next week. Thanks and have a good day.